Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
That, friends, was the voice of our good friend, now passed away, Brian Brown, who created the Brown Briefly. Together, we, the Brieflies, keep Brian's creative flame alive by bringing to you every week another episode of intelligent discussion of current events laced with humor and empathy, always guided by Brian's mantra of less is more, more or less. Let's introduce the Brieflies and our guests. First of all, engineering the show from behind the board at the Voice of Vachon's Gene Bosch Broadcast Studio in bustling, bodacious downtown Vachon, flight instructor, West Texas roughneck, and current treetop flyer, Truman O'Brien. Good morning, Truman.
Good morning. Hands on the big red switch here this morning.
Hoo-ha. Let her rip. All right, sitting next to Truman, is let her rip an okay thing in a, flight deck?
I think that works. Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that okay? Just
checking. It means something different. It means something different than you would think, but that's okay.
Okay, well, I thought I'd ask.
Yeah, it's all right.
So next to Truman, another aficionado of flight decks, is also former tow truck repo man, teamster, apprentice auto mechanic, former Washington State Assistant Attorney General, two-time Half-Bright Scholar, international arbitrator, and man about town, Craig Bellis. How's it going, Craig?
It's going well, Kevin. Thank you very much.
Asking. You know what? I don't have you on.
Oh, now I'm on. And yes, the answer to your question is, I'm doing quite well, thank you.
Wonderful. Glad you're here. Also, let's see, I don't see our Guardian of the Galaxy. Bruce has moved to New Zealand, and the time difference there is means he's pretty much probably launching his class right about now. So good wishes to Bruce. We'll have to hear his preview of Wednesday, maybe at a later show. But we do have, joining us again, Vachon Chamber of Commerce Executive Director, dual-hatted Vachonite and Denverite, and organizer supreme of the Grandest Island Festival of Strawberries, Amy Dreyer. Amy, glad you could join us again.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
Also, we have two guests today. First, let's welcome Professor Emeritus with the Central Washington University's Master Teacher Program, Dr. Stephen Norse. It's great you could join us today, Dr. Norse.
Good morning. Yes, I'm enjoying it and love being here in Vachon.
Absolutely. Great place to be. It's also our pleasure to introduce former overseer of federally funded at-risk youth programs in the Northwest and a leader in intergovernmental partnerships to transition youth with disabilities, Steve Ice. It's great to you could join us today, Steve.
Pleased to be here with you. Thank you.
It's good to gather again. For those who are wondering, mine is the voice of Indivisible Vachon and the Vachon Climate Action Group, striving to create a livable planet overseen by a government we can all appreciate or at least tolerate. And again, if you'd like to strive right along with me, you can join me next Wednesday, not tomorrow, but next Wednesday, February 21st at noon at Swiftwater Gallery, where the Vachon to Voters postcarding group will meet. Bring yourself and your pen and your postcard stamps if you have them. Everything else is provided. And I will redouble my efforts to be there, having missed this last Friday. So apologies if anybody dropped by and like, where is he? I was gone. So let's jump into our usual pattern of taking a moment to check in with everybody about what special things you experienced this past week. Craig, maybe you could start us off this week.
Yeah, I had an exciting week. I ran down to Springfield, Oregon, outside, you know, just near Eugene, to watch my granddaughter compete in a swim meet, high school regionals for the state of Oregon. And she was the only freshman that came in third or better of all the competitors in four events. So I was quite proud of that as a grandfather. Comes easy. And on the way back, we raced back and got here just in time to catch some music at Snapdragon. And then on Sunday, we went to go see Still in Love with You, the Hank and Audrey Williams story, which was fantastic up at the North End Grange. So, eventful week.
Awesome. Man about many towns, it looks like. All right. Hey, let's move on. Dr. Norse, could you fill us in on how your week is going?
Good. I saw Amy also at the play there at the Grange, and we were really impressed. That's a great venue. Also, I got a new cell phone, i15, and thank God my daughter was here to help me debate it. So I'm happy about that.
Sounds fantastic. Amy, good to see you again. How's your week been going?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I'm joining the chorus here on Falling in Love with Still in Love with You. Just as entertained as I was by the show, I don't know if entertained is the right word, enthralled as I was by the show, half of my brain was just sitting there thinking, wow, Vashon. Like just this little pool of amazing talent, right? John Whalen, Jennifer Potter, Tammy Brockway Joyce, and the very believable Driftin' Cowboys band, right? Just they're playing amazing music. Just like stunned that our tiny little island has this reservoir of talent on it. And what a great way to spend the weekend. So that was amazing. I went Saturday, following up the big Eagles Friday night bingo. They're doing bingo at the Eagles on Friday night. So getting that going monthly, and I highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Awesome. You heard it here first on the Brown Briefly. Truman, how's your week going?
Well, I had a pretty eventful week myself. I flew down to I flew down on Alaska to Medford and then on down to Ashland, Oregon. We go down there, my wife and I go down there quite often, but we went down. It was a birthday trip for me, and we saw we went to the cabaret and saw the play Clue, which was absolutely hilarious and wonderful to see. And then we went to our favorite winery down there, the Irvine and Roberts. They just had a new release of a new rosé wine, which was, of course, outstanding. And the last thing we did is I had to go rob a bank in order to pay for a 10-course meal, which I've never had before. But 10 courses with a wine pairing for each course lasted about 2 hours. It was amazing. But wow, was it expensive! But anyway, that was my birthday treat for the year. So there you go.
Oh, and sounds happy like birthday!
Thank you, Truman. Thank you. It was last Friday. Last Friday, yeah. By the way.
Yeah. Congrats! All right, hey Steve Ice, how's your week going?
Oh, good, good. I and my wife also celebrated our birthdays. We're only one day apart, so we always have to share a cake, but in several years difference, but. And that involved going over to visit grandkids as well and watching basketball and soccer meets. So another vote for watching grandkids compete in sports.
There you go.
Nice. All right. I have to say that I was able to get out on the water today. I've joined as a buddy the Vashon Rowing Club, and it seems I'm just learning the ropes here, but it seems like you're maybe never really certain what you're going to do on any given week until the news comes out from the coaches. But today was an on the water day, and it started out cloudy, a little bit of breeze from the north. But the sun came up and had a wonderful sunrise over Quartermaster Harbor and Jensen Point. And so we walked out over the Shell Midden Beach to launch our quad and did a little rowing around Governor's Row. So it was a splendid morning.
Cool.
All right. Hey, today, by the way, is Mardi Gras, just in case you were wondering. So cheers and hoo-ha for that, in case you want to get a little party action or reminisce about New Orleans. It's also Galentine's Day, ladies celebrating Ladies' Day, which started as a joke on the TV show Parks and Recreation, but is now a real thing.
And that was our theme. That was our music theme this morning for our Tuesday morning scramble, Molly and me. And we played all music about friends. And we kind of included everybody, including a rat. But that's another story.
All right. Well, this is also a precursor to tomorrow. It's like Valentine's Day Eve, right? So yeah, tomorrow, yes, big Valentine's Day. All right. Today in history, in 2008, Australian Prime Minister Kevin Rudd apologized to the Australian Aboriginal peoples for abuses they suffered under earlier administrations. I just say it's always nice to hear good news attributed to a fellow Kevin. In 2002, if only our listeners could see us, I see some smiles around the table. Mm-hmm. In 2002, the Scottish Parliament effectively outlawed fox hunting in Scotland by passing the Protection of Wild Mammals Bill. I'm sure they knew the consequences when they did that. And let's see, I'm always a fan of future history. We don't have our historian with us, but I do like to tempt the fates of what might eventually show up in our history books. The Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas is now facing a second attempted impeachment vote today in the U.S. House. I just have to ask, high crimes and misdemeanors or flim-flam?
Haven't heard a high crime or misdemeanor mentioned anywhere, so none identified.
We must have to go with flim-flam then, huh?
Yeah, I'd say they've been scant.
Yes.
Steve, Dr. Norse.
I just want to say, you know, that we'll all get a gift tomorrow on Valentine's Day. And you know what that is? That is our new property taxes will be in our, not in our boxes, but we can look them up. So, something to look forward to.
Live. Yeah. I think they said 2% this year.
Oh, boy.
2%. Unless you're a commercial, and then it went up by, I think, 21%.
Oh.
Yes, commercial properties took the brunt of the impact for residentials staying lower.
Amy, as long as we've got you, and I'm sorry to break into our thing here, but can you tell us what's going on down at Mom's with the fuel tanks?
I wish I could.
Oh,
yeah, I was curious. Bummed. I thought those tanks had already gone in.
Well, they did. They put them in. They took them back out.
That's what I thought. Oh, my heart is breaking for them.
Oh, it's so bad. Oh. I feel sorry for the business there, that's for sure.
Oh.
Okay, sorry. I just had to ask.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, Dr. Norse really opened the floodgates there with the property taxes. Get it all riled up,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Get the juices going.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, well, more surprises yet to come, but we are just about now to launch into our small talk with Steve and Steve, and let's get that started. So thank you for joining us again, Dr. Norse and Mr. Ice. I'm sure our listeners remember you from our August 1st show, and so maybe you could tell us what access consultation you've done since you last visited us on October 1st of 2023.
Well, one of the things that I did was I met with Teresa Esteta, with her and her staff, and talked about some of the issues with access on Vashon. And then I also met with a gentleman named, and Steve Ice met with me too, with Scott Shapiro, and he is with King County Land and Building. And he is an inspector out here on the island. So that's one thing I think as we talk about Vashon going ahead with, you know, become, you know, looking at more issues of transportation, looking at how we're going to expand. And, you know, I'm sure Amy can comment on this, but we really want to make sure that everything is coordinated. And I think Steve and I really want to make sure things are accessible to everybody. You know, we've got a population of what, 55 plus. So whether we like it or not, with age comes disability, and, you know, we'll need that for everybody. Steve?
Yeah, I agree. And the more we can get around and talk to people, both businesses and nonprofits, and discuss, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize that it's really fairly easy in most cases to provide accessibility to a business, and it's good for business, and it's good for everyone on the island, whether you're elderly or a child or have a disability, whether it's mobility or sensory.
Mm-hmm. You know, you said that you had consulted with those folks. I understand that you also consulted with Bruce Hallman, our guardian of the galaxy, about the history, the new access to the History Trails program that they're putting in at Ellisport.
We had a really nice get together to talk about that, and I'm very excited about the project. And it's a project with kind of unique challenges. It's sort of similar to what the signage in Docton, which reveals the history of what has gone in the past, and very interesting history in the neighborhood. But this site at Ellisport is unique in that there's about 100-foot elevation change from one part of the trail to another. So we talked a little bit about how we could deal with that. And also there's no real shoulder to the road where you can pull off and use an accessible van. So we talked a little bit about finding a flat, accessible parking area to the south end near tide level, and then perhaps putting up a very large sign, well, a large QR code on a sign where you could snap a picture of the sign from in the car if you were not able to leave the car. And then that would lead you to a website where further up the trail, if you were not able to walk it, you could listen to the material explained as you looked at the view, explain what had gone on there before in history. And we talked a little bit about the what that would mean in terms of the height of signs, so that both children and someone in a car could see them, with certain kind of tilt. And then just the font and colors of the signs and that kind of thing. So I think it's a very exciting project. I was amazed to read some of the material about. I walk through Ellisport probably once or twice a week, and I had no idea what had gone on there before my time in previous generations.
Well, I think that's fascinating that you talk about the font, the tilt of the sign, the height. I mean, all of those things are things that I would not think of for sure. And Steve, the other Steve, Nurse, have you got a comment you said?
You know, I think another thing that is so important for me to mention this is that the kinds of recommendations that we made are good for everybody. You know, sometimes on Vashon we have rain and people don't really want to get out of their cars. So we were really thinking about what these signs with the Q codes and doing that. People can go by the sign, read the sign from their car, anybody, whether they're in a wheelchair or not. And also for persons with sensory disabilities, also access that for them. Pretty simple situation to change. Again, that's what we're looking for, is universal access. You know, like I always say, you think about somebody who uses a curb cut. Well, it's elderly people, it's people with walkers, it's people that have a sore ankle. I mean, you know, that's the key there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, I was going to move on. Truman, did you have a follow-up to that?
No, I was just going to say, I know that there are other history trails are planned. Have you guys consulted on those yet, or are you planning on it? Either Steve.
Well, we sure would, I think.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And Shingle Creek is
Shingle Mill,
something
yeah.
to at least look at. May not make all of it accessible because of the elevation change, but, you know, I think the more that we're available to people. If people have questions on individual businesses, you know, we're not mercenary. Steve and I really want to make our community better. And so if people have questions, we'll answer them and go in and, you know, give them some design information.
Good.
That's kind of what we're here for.
Well, that sounds great. You know, Dr. Norris, we had Dow Constantine on the show a couple weeks ago. And during that show, you emailed me about ADA permits. So tell us about ADA permits. You know, how do folks apply for them? what criteria must an applicant meet to be granted an ADA permit? And who are we talking about who applies for these permits?
Well, basically, and Steve can help me with this too. You know, there's existing facilities and there are new facilities. As an example of a new facility that would need to come into or a change of venue would be where the old Chinese restaurant is now going to be converted into for cider, for Dragon Head, I think. That would need to come into complete accessibility, and it has. And the inspectors tend to look at that if they are asked for a permit. One of the problems is there is a lot of construction on the island that has gone on where permits have not been asked for. So therefore, if they make construction without a permit, there's no compliance out there that's going to look at every facility. You may notice some places where there have been things put over the sidewalk. And one that I'm aware of in town, they've actually built over the curb cut, and there's been no permit to ask for that. So I think that's one of the things we could, again, be looked at and given some information.
I think,
yeah, go ahead, Steve.
What are the things that, to clarify, the ADA, envisions that a person who has an access difficulty, and let's say a business owner or a nonprofit or a government organization, will have a conversation and try to come up with a reasonable means of ameliorating that barrier to mobility or access to information or whatever it is, and there are. You know, it's possible to litigate that kind of thing, but the ADA's first stance is to try to have this conversation. Now, that is entirely different from the building code. The King County inspector comes out as a result of a permit need and goes through the building from a building inspection standpoint. Now, what's interesting is that the International Building Code has incorporated large swaths of the Access Board and ADA's specifications into the building code. But the building inspector looks at many, many things not having to do with ADA. So they may not necessarily approach it from the same perspective.
And so are these permits to apply for them, would that be along with your building permit request, or is that a separate request to a different agency?
Well, that's the thing, is that you would apply for a building permit if you're doing a modification and it's such that it requires a building permit. There is no separate permit called an ADA permit, really.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Good point.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for clarifying that. Now, also, Steve, you and I had a chance to meet at Cafe Luna a little while ago, and our listeners will not be surprised that sandwich boards is another topic that we're going to bring up again in this show. So just curious, what options to replace the sandwich boards, say at the four-way stoplight? I know you've looked at some alternatives. What might be an improvement over what we have now from an accessibility perspective?
Well, first of all, I think anything we do, it needs to respect the needs of business to make customers aware of their location and the offerings that they have. We want to kind of find a solution that supports businesses. Just in terms of the sandwich boards themselves, there's a couple of rules to keep in mind, I think, if you're going to continue to use sandwich boards. One of them is to keep at least a 32-inch width of the sidewalk open for both pedestrians and people who are using wheelchairs and that kind of thing. to make sure that the sandwich board is not within 18 inches of the latch side of a door, because if you're using a wheelchair, you need you need that 18 inches of clear space to be able to open the door, to not put not allow the sandwich board to gradually move into a curb cut where it obstructs the sidewalk. And that's also true of, you know, things like tables and chairs. Just try to use contrasting colors so people don't just inadvertently walk into the sandwich board, and to try to have some weight on it so it's not going to fall over in the path. Now, long term, I think it's worth having a conversation about finding and tools to help businesses perhaps collectively hang signs in a more aesthetic manner than using sandwich boards.
Oh, so some kind of a signpost. I envision those when you walk down the corner, says like Tokyo 5,890 exactly. miles that way.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, for example, near Cafe Luna where we met, you know, if there was a signpost at the corner that indicated that the bank was there and the credit union and Cafe Luna, and, you know, so allows people that are driving down the highway to know what's off to the left, and makes them aware of it, but doesn't have a clutter of a whole bunch of signs.
Yeah.
I see Amy raising her hand back there.
I'm reaching my hand out to touch the third rail right now. right? Of sandwich boards. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think the question of access, right, on the sign of who gets to use, if you have an installation that has a particular capacity, who gets to use those interchangeable pieces when, you know, it's businesses or advertising, but also we have a lot of nonprofits who take advantage. There's a lot of opportunity. There's a huge amount of opportunity to increase signage. And I think, again, we find ourselves in unincorporated Vashon Island, where municipal funding may be difficult to find. But perhaps, if we could get all the cats herded, there may be some grant funding from, you know, government entities to support businesses and support smaller businesses. So, yeah, there's a huge conversation to be had. And I think it's going to be a community conversation, but it would be fantastic to not have our sandwich board rodeo, as I call it.
And you mentioned options, and I think that's the key. You know, when I first came to Vashon years ago, the first sign that I said was one that was on one of the real estate places that said free maps. And, you know, it would seem to be fairly easy if we could get some of the businesses to put a brochure together that's available in all the spaces, that maybe has QR codes that could talk about the businesses. You know, I even thought about one time, maybe like a reader board sign like they have at Thriftway. But, you know, the last thing you want at the four-way intersection is someone to stop there and read, 2,000 words on the reader board. But I think that a brochure would be, you know, a great option. And then also making the sandwich signs that we have now better, like Steve said, put a weight on it. So if a bicycle hits it, it doesn't knock it over in the curb cut.
You know, it strikes me, though, that Amy, that this is really a great project for the Chamber of Commerce. I mean, for the businesses to get together and say, hey, how can we all work together to solve this issue? I mean, is that what you see as...
It is. I think the big barrier here is, you know, you're asking small businesses with low margins to come up with money to do something permanent and thoughtful, which doesn't mean it's not possible. It just means that it's a different ask of the community. Yeah. It doesn't mean it's not possible. It just means it's a different ask.
Yeah. Let me follow up on that. Steve and Steve, thanks again for being here. As you've pointed out, it's always best to make property, businesses, et cetera, accessible in the first instance when the construction or the you know, the remodeling is taking place, but to bring some of the older businesses or buildings, parking lots, et cetera, up to proper accessible standards costs typically more money. And there's been references to money. Is there money? Is there some way to help those businesses? Are there grants? Are there any other sources? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is Steve. I'm glad you asked about that, because there are, we have found a couple of options. Today, one of them I would like to talk about is the IRS tax breaks for helping businesses provide access to new customers. One of the options is a tax credit. Businesses, now this is for small businesses, so that's defined as businesses that do less than $1 million of revenue per year, or have fewer than 30 employees. So that's many of the businesses we're talking about on Vashon. And this first option is a tax credit. And the credit is 50% of the cost of any modification to help provide access. And there's a limit of $10,000. So on a $10,000 project, you could receive up to $5,000 after you spend the first $250. And you know, most modifications are well under that. You know, we're talking about the removal of a 4-inch step up, or talking about yeah, very small, you know, usually typical $1,000 or $2,000. Maybe we're talking about lowering a table so that you can wheel up to it. But there's these tax credits, and basically it's a dollar for dollar off of your tax. Perhaps we're talking about new signage to make a menu more accessible to a person who has difficulty reading. So in addition to the tax credit, businesses can also receive a tax deduction. So anything that and this basically you put this on your expenses and you take this as an expense against your gross profits. Mm. And the interesting thing is you can combine these two things. So let me give you a scenario. Let's say you want to both improve your step in the front of your business, as well as make a table accessible for someone using a wheelchair. And let's say both of those projects together cost you $4,250. So right off the top, you're going to get a tax credit of $2,000. Which brings the cost down to $2,250. And then you're going to get another, in terms of your expenses, if your marginal tax rate is 22%, that's another $495 off. So this $4,250 project will cost you $1,755 out of pocket. Wow. So it's a fairly basically the government is paying roughly two thirds of the cost of making your business open to new customers who otherwise would not be able to get in the front door.
That's great information.
Yeah.
You know, and the key is too, is that if they say that if you make a facility totally accessible from starting a construction, the cost of accessibility is 0.5%. And so the key really, I think what we can do, and I would love to come and talk to the Chamber of Commerce, is that, you know, if people ask, if they do it, build it in, there's no cost involved. But when you have to redo something or remodel it, that's when the cost is. I mean, if someone had asked me, and this is the post office. If someone had asked me how to put in the wheelchair parking space there, and the state really doesn't have any control over that that federal situation. You know, you could not have put a parking space in worse than that was. And no one asked about anything. And it's an accident waiting to happen because you drop your lift right out into the path of travel, like if somebody comes up to drop mail in the mailbox there, you know. And if I pull up far enough so that I don't do that, then I block the ramp. So, but I, you know, I think that that would, I think also people just think sometimes this is just an add-on, another thing that, you know, we have to pay. Well, I, like Steve said, it can be done extremely inexpensively if it's thought about ahead of time.
And for those who want the real technical notes on this, the footnotes on this, the tax credit is Form 8826, and the deduction, which is up to $15,000, can be read about in both of these can be read about in publication 535, which is on small business.
And call before midnight tomorrow. You'll also get the Ginsu.
Yeah, first five callers will get. Yeah. So you know, one of the projects that I noticed recently was the car blockers, the curb blockers, or whatever you want to call it, there by Urban Bloom. And I noticed that not only did they put the blockers in there to keep people from pulling right up to the building and protects the building as well, but they also painted a stripe on the road to get people to go around that, for traffic to go around that. So my first question is, does that really leave enough room for a wheelchair to get through? Steve, that would nurse, that would be for you.
You know, it's really interesting because if people parked like they're supposed to park in parking spaces and not half over into the next space, it would work that way. Hmm. A good example is in front of Cafe Luna, and this is not a problem I'm putting on them, but there is a bike shop there. People tie bikes to the posts, and they do have the curb blockers, but sometimes there's the car is over far enough that it doesn't you can't get between the curb blockers and the cars. Right. Simple solution would be to just put a little paint in a dead space so people know not to park there. One of our underwriters, Rasmussen, the dental office, he asked me, he put in the curb blockers. He made a path to the back of his place where I can get in to have my new crown put in next Tuesday.
That's TMI.
Thank you, Dr. Rasmussen, for making that very accessible. But it really is true. I mean, there are simple things that, you know, and I came to the back door and it's raining. And I said, you know, I had to wait out there for a couple minutes. And I said, put in a Bluetooth doorbell. Done. You know, he's got it done. So I think if we want to do these things, they're darn easy to do. And we're available. Steve and I are available. If anybody from the Chamber of Commerce or anybody has a question, we can probably answer it for them in 30 seconds.
And Amy, that's a question for you. Those car blockers there by Urban Bloom, is that a Chamber of Commerce deal? Or
county. It's county. Yeah,
okay.
For sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So do you know of any other access changes, either one of the Steves that are coming or ones that you think need to be done right away?
Well, we met with, this is probably 2 years ago, but we met with a guy from King County Building and Land, and we went through the whole town and went through all the intersections and everything. And I called him up a couple months ago and said, what's being done? And he says, I have a new position now. So that happens a lot in King County government. But I think working with Teresa Mosqueda, I think she, the fact that she met with me and her whole staff, you know, gives me some feeling that they're serious about really helping Vashon. And also now having this connection with Scott, who does the building inspections out here. You know, we've got his mind We've got that light bulb on. That's what we got to do, is we got to turn that light bulb on and get people thinking about this ahead of time.
Yeah, I think on Vashon, you know, it is a unique situation, but it's one that that offers opportunities to fix these things as well. There's so many, in Vashon, there's so many restaurants and art galleries and places that are just not, you can't get into the building because of a step up or a hallway or something that's blocking, and it's a challenge. And I think because of this, of the old buildings we have here, we've never really taken a look at this from an access standpoint. Mostly we've looked at it from, you know, just that it's, we love to have these old buildings. But I think there's a lot that can be done by engaging in conversation.
And thanks to Dr. Steve, I can say that we do have an ADA accessible studio now in downtown Vashon. That was thanks to a donation by Dr. Steve to get this 36-inch door installed. And it's working pretty well, is it not, Steve?
Yeah. And again, the nice thing is, I talk to so many people that go into the studio that say, oh, I'm so glad this door was widened. Yeah, and it's, even if you're moving equipment, you've got equipment in there and speakers and stuff.
Yeah.
And, I'll make it, if we can get a brochure going with the Chamber of Commerce and get some donations, I'll donate the first $100.
There you go.
There you see, that's got to be archived, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. We got that written in blood here, Steve. No,
we can
no.
hold you accountable.
That's right. That's right.
But we also got Give Big coming up. So, hey, plan ahead.
There you go.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Also, at Sunrise Ridge, the studio there, a door was recently replaced there, and they did put in an ADA door. I'm not sure about the threshold, though. Have you been up there, Dr. Steve, to see that or no?
No, I actually, if there's some time when you're up there or somebody is, I'd love to go up there. I've never even been to the site.
Oh, okay. Well, it's in where the food bank is currently located in that building.
I've been up there, so yeah.
But
Let's be a good example.
Sure. Well, there is a ramp inside the building. There is a ramp that goes up to the studio door, and we do have an ADA door there. But I'm just not sure about the threshold. So we'll check that out, Steve.
Yeah. And that does bring up a lot of questions, and I think a lot of sites for collaboration and with folks, the small businesses that are just sort of running for their lives on an everyday basis, right? Really putting those resources in front of them and saying, here is a specific resource that you can access. Yeah. I believe that, our hearts and minds are in the right place, and it just takes that meeting of resources and letting people know how accessible it is to increase accessibility. And I think a lot of folks would be open to it. And I did have a question about sidewalks because, speaking of Dow Constantine, the comp plan, the King County comp plan is on tap again. And one of the revisions, it doesn't really speak to sidewalks, but it does sort of say, as you'd mentioned, if you're pulling a permit, then yes, you need to bring the sidewalk up to code and up to standard, but there is no other funding mechanism through the county or any other action mechanism through the county to improve sidewalks throughout town. And I know that's a going concern. A lot of people talk about, the walkability of town. And I'd love to hear more from the Steves just about walkability or accessibility or, mobility through town.
One of the things that happens is that things change. And one of the things that I notice is that when trees grow underneath sidewalks, they raise the sidewalks up. I've got high centered more than once. That's the kind of thing. I think we maybe through the chamber, we can get people out here, somebody who has some opportunity to do those kinds of things like we did before. Because I think Vashon really relies right now on a lot of that walkability on Saturday and Sunday. People walking around. People are walking around with families, with kids. You know, that accessibility is going to be great. But now, if you look right in front of the senior center, they've got some crosswalks there. But if I go across from the bank, from PSCCU, I can get down there fairly easy. Mm-hmm. But to get up the curb cut in front of the senior center, I have to go out in the line of traffic. Mm-hmm. And not everybody goes the speed limit, even though we've got our new sign in right there. And I think, wasn't there somebody killed there on that intersection?
Yeah, there was a number of years ago.
So, I mean, those are the kinds of things that we want to look at. And that, you're right, Amy. I mean, that's not, you know, we certainly can't put that kind of cost off on local businesses. It needs to be King County, and they need to know that we are not Gilligan's Island. We are Bayshore. We are not lost out here, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, we got to start throwing some tea into Quartermaster Harbor,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I think anything that's, you know, unfortunately, I think historically, sidewalks are upgraded when new construction happens, and there's an assessment. The problem with that is it then becomes very piecemeal. You have one block or one corner that's very accessible, and you cross the street and there's nowhere to go. The sidewalk comes to a dead end, or it goes down a few steps, or this kind of thing. So,
isn't that what you've encountered, Steve, at the Performing Arts Center with the intersection?
Well, that's a good example. You know, on the when the Vashon Center for the Arts went in, there was a beautiful development of accessible sidewalk in front of it with curb cuts. But when you cross the highway, there's nothing but there's nothing. There's no ditch, no sidewalk. I mean, there's no sidewalk or anything but gravel. Hmm. So this is the problem, is the lack of a comprehensive plan.
You know, between your two appearances on the Brown Briefly, I think you've raised the consciousness of a number of our listeners, perhaps, to these issues. And I'm curious, last time you were here, you commented that if somebody sees an issue, where should they go? And I think you said the first place is probably the business, if it's out, you know, bring it to the attention of the business owner. But short of that, or places where you don't have access to the business owner, is there any place else that you can alert individuals to accessibility issues?
Steve, do you want to talk about that?
Well, there are you know, mechanisms where you can file complaints with the state human rights, or you can file complaints short of going to you know, the short of litigation. You know, I think one of the things that we should look at is you know, if there's Steve and I can't anticipate everything. So if there's someone that is experiencing something that's a daily challenge or a hassle for them, to get in touch with us, and we can try to problem solve. And if we can't solve it, we'll find a place to refer their concern. And that's also with respect to businesses who are interested in our two cents worth.
And I also think, you know, our purpose is not to put businesses out of, you know, to close them down and you know, to be the bad guy. Our perspective is that we can do things very easily. We can help people. And it's just getting that awareness out there. People aren't doing things. People aren't putting, you know, sandwich boards up at the main intersection to say, we're going to do this to exclude people with disabilities. But they just need to have that awareness. Yeah. And that's where I think we'd like to work with the Chamber of Commerce. And And I also like Amy's passion for the community. I I see her that change in her voice when she and I really respect that. That's very cool.
Thank you.
You know, one of the things that comes to mind is that you both of you fellows, both in this visit and the one previous, have really brought to the attention of people how simple some of these changes can be, and how easy it is to work some of these issues in. And I personally really appreciate that, and I'm sure that any business owners that are listening would appreciate that as well. Not to change the subject too much here, but Dr. Steve, I know that you produced a really excellent reflection of Vietnam-era music on The Voice of Vashon last year. And the question is, are you going to plan more stories from Island veterans, and do you have anything else in mind for that?
I'm really glad you asked, because we have really decided just to add some additional. I've got more comments and more requests from veterans, particularly Vietnam, but I'm interviewing a gentleman right now who was in Desert Shield and Desert Storm. And we're really talking about the differences in different types of war. Also, I've interviewed Joe, why can't I think of his last name? He was on the committee for safety on Vashon, but he's 96 and a half years
Ulitowski.
Old.
That's Ulitowski. Yeah, Joe Ulitowski.
Yeah, there you go, yeah. He's 96 and a half years old, and he was in World War II, Korean War. So I've really got some wonderful interviews from him, and I'm going to do some more. Just the differences in war and how they've affected people. And for instance, the guy that was in Desert Shield, they're having the same kinds of problems with open burning pits and the oil fields and the toxic materials that they had in Vietnam with Agent Orange. So, and we've got requests. I've had so many wives of veterans contact me. So we're going to keep that going. And we do have a series that should be out and ready to go here pretty soon on dementia. And I've got a guy named Brad Tyson, who's a neuropsychologist, who I've interviewed for all those. Lots of things. And thanks to Voice of Vashon, it kept me sane through COVID. So
we should mention that, of course, Is Abled is the show by name that you can find on the Voice of Vashon archives and listen to some of Steve's work interviewing all kinds of folks from.
I do have one complaint. Abilities. I do have one complaint. And my complaint is with Kevin. Oh. And he's got me so interested now in some of these community activities and this equity council. And he's taking up a lot of my time. And I'm being facetious, but I really do appreciate it.
And I can be very demanding. I can be very demanding, Steve, as you know.
Yes, and I really appreciate it. And I just think you're so lucky to have him on this program.
Yeah, we agree with that, for sure.
Well, so, Steve, you joined the equity committee of the Vashon Maury Island Community Council right off the bat, and our actually very first outreach was to talk to Mike Mattingly at the Vashon Veterans Association. So, but pleased that turn of events, and you're able to spend now more time with us, and I'm glad we've been able to draw you in. So look forward to working together more closely.
Front Bellis in it a few times. Let's see. We want to talk about that.
Okay. So thanks again for bringing a really comprehensive look. I know you did your research with the various forms and the way people can apply for some of those refunds or tax breaks. Is there anything else you want to leave with our listeners for closing? I'm not sure if people know how to reach you. They certainly probably know how to reach us here on the Briefly. We could put them in touch. Anything else you want to leave before we move on?
You can certainly give them my email address or my telephone number. And Amy, let you and I get together and talk about how I can better interact with the council.
Yeah, no,
and Steve and I do that.
I'd love that. And it's pretty quick and easy to start getting some information out to the businesses and just some reminders about some of these, you know, tax accessibility options for folks to make some important changes.
Sounds good.
Wonderful.
Fantastic. Well, gentlemen, you're, of course, I do hope you'll stay. We got another 4 minutes. Oh, time flies when we're having fun. But let me just hit a couple of items. You're certainly welcome to chime in. I'm not quite sure why this came up, but Islander Amanda Knox is newsworthy and is also helping to draw attention to legislation, notably House Bill 1062, which is now in the Rules Committee, which would declare any evidence gained by deceptive practices by police interrogations to be inadmissible in court. Now, Craig, the Association of Prosecuting Attorneys, you might know them, they oppose this legislation. I'm curious what you think.
Well, that's always been a sensitive subject. It's always been discussed and analyzed under our old friend, the 14th Amendment, at the state level. When is a statement voluntary or involuntary? And the argument's been made over the years that using ruses of various sorts rendered your incriminating statements involuntary. But the Supreme Court of the United States has not followed suit. They've only found that those are involuntary and a violation of the Constitution when the police manufacture evidence, fake evidence, or show a videotape of supposedly a co-defendant confessing, which wasn't real. It is true that many states have statutes now that provide that if you're 17 or under, the police cannot use any kind of deception in your interrogation. The prosecutors are in favor of it because it bears fruit. Defense and defense counsel are not because it oftentimes bears rotten fruit. So it's a tough issue. Amanda Knox is going to be on the Brown Briefly on March 19th, and we'll be talking about this issue.
This is Steve. I'd like to comment. I worked with federal services that served people with developmental disabilities and cognitive disabilities, and a part of that job was to fund protection and advocacy legal work on behalf of such individuals, and there is a significant chance that people with serious cognitive and developmental disabilities will confess to and to please their interrogators to something that they didn't do. So I think it's important to keep in mind the cognitive and functional abilities of the person that's being asked the questions.
Mm-hmm. Good point. All right. Well, wonderful. Thanks for sharing some thoughts. And we will be looking forward to this discussion with Ms. Knox when she joins the show. I would say for Steve, Amy, Craig, Truman, and myself, thanks for joining the Brown Briefly today. Now, Craig, in a moment, could you just let us know who our listeners should hear from next week?
We're going to have some of the founders of our very own Vashon Juke Joint, the Coop. They're going to talk about how the Coop developed, what the philosophy is there, and some of the goings-on that many people on the island have never had the opportunity to go see, although it is open to the public. So,
sounds awesome.
Amazing. Have a great week.